To the Old Testament, to the book of Haggai, and the first chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, the minor prophet Haggai. Good to see each of you tonight, and we appreciate so much your presence this evening. This morning's lesson has been placed under members only because some of the content, but if you will want to listen to that, that's where that is. And we're saddened to hear about the Stillmans moving, but we want them to know how much they mean to us, and we appreciate them and love them, and we are going to miss them greatly. That is a great family, so we want them to know how much we appreciate them. In the book of Haggai, in the first chapter, I want to read with you verse 14 for the thought of our study. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. If you take your Bible, look at that phrase, they came and worked on the house of the Lord. I think that we all will agree that one point can be made to stick. And that is, when you see people who call themselves the people of God sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing, that's an unhealthy sign. And yet this is not a picture we see often so in the lives of many. We look out and you'll find that in every age, in every dispensation, there have been people who sat on the sidelines instead of engaging in the work of the Lord. In the Revelation letter and the third chapter, you remember that when John is writing and he's quoting Jesus, Jesus, when he speaks to the church at Laodicea, brings to the mind of the people that at that time they were lukewarm. Here was people that were not engaged in the work of the Lord, but they were comfortable sitting on the sideline. And at this time, I want us to look at the prophet Haggai, and notice this prophet of God in Old Testament days and make some New Testament application. Notice, if you will, that this man is going to a people who refused to work. And the prophet of God was to stir up the people that had refused to work, though they had returned from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple. In the book of Haggai, and the first chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 2, that the people said, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Notice, at this time, the people were saying, it's not time for us to rebuild the temple. There the temple lies in ruin. There the temple is needing to be rebuilt so the worship could continue as God had ordained. And yet instead of rebuilding the temple of God, you'll note that the temple lie in ruin. And yet notice what the people say. In verse 4, Haggai looks at him and says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? They were willing to build their houses, and those paneled houses were probably something they'd seen in Babylonian captivity, and they brought it back. And they said, we want to live in luxury. And he said, yet while you're building your house, the house of the Lord lie in ruin. Now let's stop for just a moment and think about the church today and bring it to our day and time in serving the Lord in the church. And let us know some things that people substitute for work. One, talk. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people can talk a big game, and yet, my friend, there's a little action. There's a lot of planning, and many times we all can be guilty of having good intentions of doing certain things and planning to do things, and yet we talk about it, and we never do it. And my friend, there are many things that we need to stop talking about and start doing. It's good to plan. It's good to prepare. It's good to look ahead and see what need. But I'll tell you, my friend, if all we do is have good intention and never follow through, then the work is never done. Secondly, we need to be careful about criticism. Now, there is what might be identified as constructive criticism. And that is where someone comes to you in a constructive way and tries to help you. But I want to tell you, there's also destructive criticism. And that is where someone comes to you, and we can have people that are very discouraging at times. I don't think many people mean to be discouraging, but I've often thought about how many times I've heard people grumble and criticize, and a lot of it is not worth hearing. I'd say 9/10 of it's not worth hearing. And each of us should be warned about the chronic state of finding fault to excuse ourselves from working. But the third thing we might identify is officialism. And that's the third substitute for work. And that can be identified as some preacher saying, well, I don't want to be identified as a pastor, so I won't do a certain part of the work. I've known preachers that won't do certain things because they say they're afraid they'll be called a pastor, when in reality they're afraid of the work. And there are elders and deacons and people that have titles, and we need to be careful that we do not use our titles to exempt us from doing the work we are told to do. But now then, if you go back to the book of Haggai, look again at the responsibility to service. And here the prophet, as he calls to their mind, the work to do or the responsibility for service. Look at verse 8. In verse 8 he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. I like that statement. Go to the mountain and bring wood. And they did it. He said, you need to work. You don't just need to wish work will be done. You need work to be done. And notice, my friend, he said, you go and you do. But I want you to think about, in our day and time, we have a responsibility. There are many fields in which the Christian has responsibility for service. First, we have the responsibility of service of giving. In 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, you'll find that Paul said that upon the first day of the week, you're to lay by in store. This is the only way the church is to raise its money. This does not apply to those who are not members. But this is different than those who have pie suppers and try to raise money in other ways because people get something of value in return. Christian service is to give God from the heart freely that which we do not expect in return. That's a spiritual sacrifice. And thus, my friend, we have a service to do. Secondly, we have work of loyalty, being faithful to the local work. It depends entirely upon you to do its work. Each member, as we brought out this morning, should be in their own place doing the work so that we can be united, as Brother Travis prayed about a moment ago, in working together. But that brings up something else. We will lead the sinner to Christ. When we have a responsibility, look at the people in this area that have never been invited to attend the service by a personal invitation. It takes more than a sign outside to get people in. You got to go to the mountain. That's what the Lord told the people. And bring in the wood. And He says, just you go and you bring them in. This they did and this we ought to do. But then look again in your Bible and notice what it inspired them for service. In Haggai chapter 1, look back up at verse 13. In verse 13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people saying, I am with you, says the Lord. I like that statement. If you go back, you'll see the very thing that moved him. It was the message of the man of God and the promise of the Lord to be with them. Notice, he's called the Lord's messenger. And he brought them the message, and he did so with simplicity and clarity. But not only did he bring the message, notice, my friend, he said, I want you to understand the promise of the Lord is to be with you. Now, tonight, you know what our responsibility is that should inspire us? Two things. One, the preaching of the Word of God. Our preaching should be so designed as to get people stirred up to work. And I often wonder just how much preaching is done along this line. But secondly, look at the promise, the Lord is with you. You remember in Matthew 28:20 that Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And I'll tell you, my friend, in Hebrews 13:5, He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." This should inspire each of us to do the will of God. I like the statement that the prophet made when they came and worked in the house of the Lord of hosts. They came with the mind to work. They at first said, "It's not time to work." And Haggai said, "Yes, it is. Now's the time to work." Because I'll tell you something. Haggai understood the longer the temple lie in ruin, the harder the heart of the people. And so the man of God said, "Work. It's not time for you to be about selfish ambition. It's time for you about doing the Lord's work." And you remember His promise, "I am with you." Now tonight we have an obligation to do the work of the Lord and the work that gives Him glory. Can it be said of the people at Eastside, they came and did the work in the house of the Lord? If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, you can have your sins forgiven. And if you're here and you've never put on Christ, you can be immersed and have every sin blotted out. Or if you've left Christ, you can return to Christ and have your sins forgiven. If you have any spiritual need, we pray you come as together we stand.